Great. Again, I want to just extend a warm welcome to our friends from Pivot, which is awesome. So basketball last night, wow. My girls play basketball, and I'm not their coach, because they're kind of past parent coaching at this point, like age-wise, anyway, that's what I meant. But trust me, I still coach them, because I happen to know a lot about specific mechanics on most things basketball, whether it's how to rebound more effectively, the specific mechanics of shooting, right? And so we'll be out in our driveway oftentimes, and it's like, I'll give them one thing. I want this is your lead finger, right? Not your hand, but this finger, and just like different things. And then it doesn't happen. I'm like, didn't I just tell you, right? Backspin. If it's not backspin, and it's not right, you know, even I know when it, but well, this actually goes back to maybe a lot of us. And I remember when I played baseball competitively, and I played all through, up and through senior year of high school. I played 6 years of American Legion. That was my last. It was supposed to be 3 years, but we didn't have enough kids to fill the younger age thing. So I just played 6 years with, so I was a seventh grader playing with seniors, which actually was probably worked out. My coach in the small town was my pastor. See, I knew pastors were cool from a very young age. And I remember him coming out to our house one time, like right away when I started with him. And he had some excuse for coming, but it was clear he really wanted to come and teach me something about swinging. And I could swing and I could hit, but nobody in our town had ever taught me the fundamentals of how to truly swing. And when you swing a baseball, some of you are like, I don't care. Others of you are like, yes, preach it, right? But when you swing, your power comes from your hips. It doesn't come from how hard you can swing your arms. It actually, like you, now I feel weird, demonstrating. But anyway, it comes from your hips, okay? And it's a technique called pulling. You pull the baseball. And it's because you pull. And so you're using your whole body, your legs and your hips, to actually drive the ball. It increases bat speed. So anyway, Pastor Coach was out of my house, and he was telling me this. And we called him Pastor Coach. I called him. I was the only one who called him. He used both for me, but my family called him that too, but he told me this, and I'm listening, I'm paying attention, and the next day at practice, didn't do a thing he said. I vaguely remembered it, but I was so busy just trying to hit an older guy's fastball that it wasn't really like it. I just didn't receive it. I heard it, but it didn't make a difference in my approach, and it took a while before it did. Have you ever had one of those moments where like you hear something, you learn something, but you don't really receive it, and then when you really need it, you've kind of at the point of, oh man, this would have helped me. I totally remember hearing this. I totally remember this, but I didn't actually utilize the information I had. Have you ever been there before? Well, mentioned earlier, 2 weeks from now is Easter. 1 week from now is Palm Sunday. And when Jesus marched in on Palm Sunday, some significant things had happened right before Palm Sunday, which is where we're at today. And there is this time where Jesus, he actually was talking to his disciples three different times before Palm Sunday. And three different times he said the same exact thing. And all three times, they missed it. I mean, they heard it, but it didn't. They weren't ready to receive it. And it was Jesus three different times predicted his death. He actually foretold of his death. And so in the Gospel of Luke, if you look at it, so in Luke 9 are the first two. And basically the first time Jesus foretells his death, which, I mean, who wants to hear this, right? But the first time came right after a great miracle. 5,000 people, just 5,000 men, so plus the women, plus the children, it's a lot of people just got fed by a really small, you know, like small sack lunch, basically. And it was such a miracle, and everybody's pumped, and everybody's excited as they're finishing up for the night. And Jesus says, hey guys, don't tell anybody about this yet. but they're going to hand me over to the authorities, and I'm going to get put to death. But in 3 days, I'll rise. And I can just imagine, like, Peter. Okay, Jesus. John, did you see what he did today? Right? And just, like, get, like, it just kind of, whew. He told them, but there's no way they received it. And then later in that same chapter, there's another story where Jesus meets this boy who has a demon nobody else can get rid of. He gets rid of the demon, delivers this boy, and again, everybody is just excited. And the Bible says, Luke writes, while they were still marveling, Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, I'm going to die. They're coming for me, and they're gonna put me to death. Again, it's like these two really high moments, and then that happens. And then the third time, and this is Luke 18, this is just a few verses before, like, the actual Palm Sunday happens, right? There's a third scene, and this one comes right after Jesus. So a rich man had come, and Jesus said, hey, it's really hard if you're going to prioritize your possessions, your security, more than me, it's going to be really hard for you to get to heaven. And his disciples say, Jesus, we've, like, actually given up the most important things in our life, our family, to follow you. And Jesus says, I assure you, anyone who's left, mother, father, like the loved ones, the hardest things to leave, to follow me, you will have an incredible reward. You'll be with me forever. It's this really cool thing. And then he says this. And so this is Luke, just a couple of verses that I'm going to invite pivot up, but he says, and taking the 12, he said to them, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, because that's the Palm Sunday. Like, we're actually on our way up right now to Jerusalem. And everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. Which is really important. Everything that's written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. He's going to tell them about his death here. But get this. He's reminding them. He's telling them. It might go right over. But he's telling them, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. This is not a horrible accident that you're going to witness with me. This is not, you know, Peter, because you're going to deny me. It's not your fault. It's not even Judas's fault for betraying me. No. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is what's going to happen. And so it's actually a really helpful statement. But then he says, for he, speaking of himself, will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. Again, after kind of a really nice sentimental high moment, Jesus is sharing this. And he says, I'll be delivered over to the Gentiles. If you go back to the Old Testament, like the period right before where Jesus is with his disciples, the entire time God's judgment on Israel was handed out by the Gentiles. They were always turned over to the Gentiles. And here Jesus is saying, for our punishment, I will be handed over to the Romans. The Gentiles are now the Romans. And I will be handed over to them, and they're going to carry out the wrath of God upon me. And then he says, and after flogging me, they'll kill me, and on the third day, I will rise. Which, you know, if the disciples are paying attention, they have to be thinking, that's, like, horrible. Why is this okay, right? How can this be a good thing? But Luke writes, but they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them. They did not grasp what was said. In other words, right? Man, that's what Lent is for us. We're in the season of Lent. We're right before Palm Sunday. Jesus would have been telling his disciples, preparing them, hey, this is going to happen. I'm telling you this is going to happen, and it's going to be really hard. But it's good. It's the fulfillment of prophecy. It's not any of your individual faults. It's mankind. And I've come to save. And I love that about Lent, is that we actually get to get uncomfortable, especially during Lent, and reflect on our sin and reflect on why Christ came to save souls. And that's a good thing. And so I want to, every one of us, you know, we've struggled in all kinds of ways. It's just the sin that weighs in us. But God has never made a mistake. And each of our sin, he does not hold us accountable to it when we're forgiven in Christ. Praise God. And that's what Lent brings us, is to Easter.